This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So how did you come to the project?
You know, the old-fashioned way. It was just, you know, my agent sent the script to me, and it worked out nicely, and I read it, and it's funny, John was, I hadn't read the script yet. My agent called and said, I'm sending you a script, it's really good, and I went to the Coffee Bean to go, this is 3 years ago now, I went to the Coffee Bean to go get coffee, and John, who I did not know yet, was meeting an actress there who I knew. And so I bumped into her, we said hello, and she introduced me to John. And he said, hey, I think I'm meeting you in a couple days. I'm like, oh, I heard about it. I can't wait to read it. Well, we should just meet here in a couple days. And so I went home and I read it, and it was fantastic. And I was in from the first page. I knew I would do it if he would have me. And we met at the same spot a couple days later in the evening. And he came in. He's like, "Let's just go to a bar." I said, "All right." So we went and got a drink. And he had already sort of gave me the part right away. And it worked out great. It was a breeze. It was the easiest job I've ever gotten. You know, in terms of I didn't have to do anything. I just had to read it. I really lucked out.
When you saw the script, was it originally the one that was the more indie, you know, more intense script?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This thing has sort of undergone, and I wouldn't even say more. I mean, it was a little more rated R, really. I mean, that's it. I mean, it you know, it was rated R, so there was some more cursing. There was a love scene, and there was and not having anything to do with the rating or the indie quality, but there was I had some more scenes with guys. You know, there's a scene that got cut that we filmed with I filmed with Clark Gregg where I meet her husband. There's a scene that's good that I liked. There's a scene on the porn set where you meet my boss. There's a scene in the end with my best friend who was originally at the diner with me that you finally meet. And it's just a coincidence, you know. It really wasn't a purposeful thing to excise all the men out of the movie, but it just—I think those are just cutting room decisions to keep it at a breezy pace, and they didn't, you know, serve enough. Well, I don't know. That said, you know, it's still—I mean, it's certainly not unrecognized. I mean, it is, you know, what it is, and things, and you know, so much of how it changed is just. Doesn't have to do with the PG-13 rating and the wider release. So much has to do with truly just the nature of filming and editing and things changing through the process and you know, taking on an unexpected life of its own.
You ever had a family member embarrass you like Grandma did?
Yeah, I had my dad embarrass me horribly at a. It was the worst mistake I ever did, and this is, you know, 5 years ago, maybe more. My dad was in town, and I had an audition, and I said, why don't you just come with me? You know, well, I got to do this thing, and then we'll go get some bite to eat. And it was an audition where it was a mix and match with girls, so you read with, you know, and I was reading with this really cute girl, you know, and we're kind of, and my dad is just like... I don't know. He thinks he's funny. I think he's funny in the sense of how not funny he is. And I'm not just saying that to be a dick. I mean, his jokes are bad. But anyways, I don't know. And we went into the audition, and it, you know, it was fine. And then I said, we were leaving, and I said, well, I think I want to ask for a number. So maybe could you go get the car, and I'll meet you there in a minute. And I'm like, I'll meet at the car. The man I'm gonna wait for. I'm gonna ask, you know. And she came out, and I started talking. And my dad pulls up in the car, and he like honks the horn, and he rolls down the window, and he gives me like the thumbs up.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't even. And I was truly pissed. I was actually like, it's not even funny. And in hindsight, it's funny. But at the time, he's like, give me a break. She thought it was funny. Come on. I'm like, it wasn't, man. You really blew it for me. It's not funny, you know?
Hey, Grandma.
Yeah.
Did you get her number? Did she give you her number?
I did, but I don't think she called me back.
Do you miss the long hours of TV?
No, I certainly don't. Not when I'm sitting in my backyard on Monday morning thinking, wow, I could be in the Cohen kitchen for 6 hours right now. No, I don't.
What are you doing with your newfound free time?
I don't know. You know, I'm sort of figuring that out. I'm getting my. It's the small things. I find that like I'm getting adjusted to my old sort of unemployed life, where the coffee shop at like 11, 12, 1, whenever I may get up, is a big part of my day. That's the first appointment of the day. The matinee I see is, you know, scheduled too. It's little things, all little things, and it's really fun, actually. It's fun. I don't know. I enjoy the routine of making your own sort of Sunday routine, Monday through Friday.
Are you using this free time to read any scripts?
Yeah, of course. I read, you know, I read them too quick. I mean, my agent will call me about a script, and then it won't get to me for 2 days, and I get like, I call him like, let me just send it to me. I'll read it. I'll get right back to you. But you gotta just have him. I'm excited. Come on. But anyways, I absolutely am. I wish I could say I was reading tons, but I'm just reading what comes my way.
Are there women in your life who've inspired you? What's the story on that?
Yeah, well, you know, I think every relationship I've ever been in has been ultimately a good thing and ultimately a learning experience. I don't have any horror stories there. And I think my mom is fantastic, and she's a really great person, and I think that she instilled in us, if nothing else, compassion, you know.
Did you have to research softcore porn?
No, because I used to be in it. So that was actually something that I brought to it already.
Yeah. What was it like working with Jonathan?
John's fantastic. You know, you would never, ever, ever know it. I can't believe he hasn't directed a short film. It's crazy how, and you know, granted, the household he grew up in is certainly well versed in film, but still, I mean, it, you know, and he wrote it, and he, you know, but he, it, not just in the story, I mean, in the shooting, for a guy who's never shot anything, he sure knows a lot about DPs and lenses and, you know, texture and color strips and film stock. I mean, he was, you know, it may have been his first thing, but he's absolutely a veteran.
How's he like to work with as an actor?
He's great, you know. He's also a good actor, is the thing. So he would give me some line readings and do it better than I could do it. Also, you know, the script's really personal to him, in more ways, more helpful ways, actually, than it's not autobiographical, the story. Every story somebody says in this movie, any character really, almost anything anyone says in this movie is either from John's life or from someone very close to him. So, you know, you ask him why a comma is here, and he can tell you the personal story when he was 8, and, you know. So that was actually very helpful in terms of motivation.
I was going to go back to the softcore porn.
Yes.
Being like, what's your experience? Where did you have that experience?
Well, I when I moved to L.A., no, I've never been a software porn. It was very rough for a while, and I couldn't find a job. And, you know.
You're a California boy, so would you want to write a story about your high school? Would it be anything like the Midwest experience, or totally not?
No, I mean, I think that's what John's fascination is with that high school experience, and mine, is growing up out here, and, you know, I grew up in a typical high school, but I spent most of my high school actually at the beach, which the majority of my high school didn't, because it wasn't.
You're ditching, or are you?
No, but I sort of checked out socially around high school too. And it's funny because I was reminiscing with a friend the other day, and as a result, you know, the beach was its sort of own high school. Everyone had their local beach, and everyone and a bunch of kids from the surfers from different high schools would go there. So as a result, a lot of my high school friends are complete different ages. They're went to different high schools, and then I'm friends with like a few random bums, you know, and just really crazy people, random the local bum, like is we talk about still. And
did you have a big kahuna or your beach?
Sort of, yeah. His name was Emmett, and he had a sort of, I don't want to be rude, he had an arm problem, and he was a really sweet guy, and he never wore a wetsuit, and everyone, it was mind-blowing in winter. But anyways, enough about that. But that said, yeah, I mean, if I did write a true high school movie, or a true movie about my youth, it would heavily involve the beach. I don't know what that is emotionally yet, you know, I just know the setting, I don't really, but I think that, you know, I and John, it's weird how similar we are in this. And John went to Crossroads out here, which is not a typical high school experience either. And Carter's very clearly describing that school pretty much in the movie. He has this fascination with, you know, the high school of John Hughes. And so do I, you know, and so do I. I have that fascination with the East Coast, too, and foliage and all of that. And this sort of idyllic suburb that I've never exactly been to, but I'm pretty sure maybe exists. So, I don't know.
Did you have any influence on music?
Just barely. You know, we had some of the... John, obviously, you know, had his... opinions and songs picked out, and then we have a great music supervisor on this movie, actually, that does all of John's brother's movies too. And then you know, I would certainly, I mean, I think at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, I weighed in as heavily as I could, and I think I got a few songs in there, but I'm really happy with the soundtrack, actually. I think it's cool. I think it's also underrated in the sense that no one's talking about it, no one's selling it. It's just, I mean, somebody is selling it, but it's not like a big part of this movie, when I actually think it's like a really good soundtrack that is hand-picked, and it's not studio, you know, it doesn't feel like a studio soundtrack. It's very much a personal reflection of, you know, everyone's taste that made the movie.
You took your dog to this is the press kit maybe
book. Sure, no, that's okay.
But you took your dog you took your dog to the set, and the
neighbor
kind of
yeah.
While you were shit, so was it kind of a friendly neighbor?
It was, you know, because it was rare on this movie, but all the interiors were shot in the interiors of those houses that we did the exteriors at, which isn't always the case. So we spent a lot of time on that block and that street, and you know, as a result, the neighbors would, you know, and they don't have things filmed there. That's on Vancouver Island, so the neighbors would come out, and we got to know all them, and they'd sort of walk. It was like, it was really cool. It was a neighborhood thing, and you'd get to, you know, at night, everyone would sort of gather around, and all the neighbors would be walking their dogs and chat outside the set. It was really fun, and yeah, my dog befriended a boxer up the street, and so
you don't have any little baby boxers.
Yeah, no, no.
Okay,
but they were fast friends, and it was actually great because it was that or my trailer, and she got to go in this backyard and play all day, and then I'd grab her, so it couldn't have been worked out better.
What do you think you will miss about
the OC? Money, and also, you know. There's something to, I mean, the sort of the steady job is nice. I mean, even if it, you know, can be a drag and or doesn't feel sort of artistically satisfying, there's something nice about stability. And as much as you bitch about your job, there's some security knowing it's there, you know. And when you do take it away, it's definitely a different feeling. So that, and, you know, I'd say the people, but I still keep in contact with, I see... Everyone I really want to see from there, I do. So, on a pretty regular basis. So, even that is not, that part is not even too bad.
Would you ever do an ensemble TV show again?
You know, sure. Well, I would. You know, although I will be thinking next time around a little more about schedule and, you know, how is this going to work and what does this mean for my days a week. Honestly, it's really, when you're going to do something for, you know, 1 to 10 years, that's something to think about. And I don't know, we'll see if I'm in a position when that happens to factor that in.
Did anyone come at you for pilot season?
A little bit. It was flattering, actually, but barely. I just, I really wasn't interested this year, you know, and I don't know how quickly that'll change, but you know, I definitely was not ready to, like, jump right back in. But, you know, I read one thing that I thought, you know, if it wasn't this year, you know, if given a slightly different position, I would love to do this.
Was it any thought to doing a 30-minute versus an hour?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I would probably, if I had my pick of anything and I was doing TV, probably I would do a 30-minute. Only because, really the schedule and, the shows I tend to like on TV are sort of more 30-minute. Like, I don't know. I like 30 Rocks, really. I enjoy a lot. I think being on something like that would be a blast.
How was working with Meg Ryan?
It was great, you know. She's really good in the movie, I think. And it was nice to do, you know, a classic sort of romantic comedy, Walk and Talk with Meg Ryan, which is sort of her staple. It's nice. I feel like I was doing a sort of piece of classic cinema. I don't mean the thing will live on ever, but that's a, you know, the Meg Ryan Walk and Talk is a kind of a big deal for me.
What about Kristen? Was that fun?
Yeah, she's great in it, you know. It absolutely was. She's a fantastic actress.
Did you get to hang out? What did you do? I mean, you have the neighbors, and they're all fun.
Right.
What did you do after the set?
That's the one thing I didn't do, is I didn't do have that active social life there. I mean, it's Vancouver Island, so it kind of closes early. And really, John is my only peer exactly there. And he's so preoccupied. You know, the director's so much busier than the actors.
So you and your dog.
It was me and my dog, and we went to, there was a dog park right next to the hotel, and I did that, and I saw movies, and I just, it was actually a very, it was kind of lonely, but, you know, good, in a good way. Yeah, I had a lot of just alone time.
Can you talk about what you've done since the film?
I've cameoed in a couple sort of independent comedies, and I did a couple seasons, two more seasons of the OC, And now, I have no idea. I can't wait to go to work on something. Truly, I feel like, you know, I did this 2 years ago now, really, and coming this summer, I believe it'll be 2 years. And I can't wait to sink my teeth in something again. So I just don't know what that'll be or when. And I don't have even a preference. I just want it to be good.
Is it weird to be talking about something?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you it is. But it's funny because I haven't even seen it in a while, but I start to, like, it takes on a life of its own as the more you talk about it, and I hear John talk about it. And it's funny, you get in, it starts to steamroll, and all of a sudden I do. It was weird for a second going, all right, I'm going to do a bunch of press for this. I'm going to have to dredge up old stories. But now it's, now I'm in the thick of it, you know. Now it feels like I did just do it because I've been talking about it for a week.
Is there a movie genre you're dying to do? Like, you want to be an action hero, or is there something that...
Yeah, you know, actually, the one thing I would love to do... I mean, I love all sorts of genres, and I'd love to be a part of any kind of quality movie, but I would love to figure out a way that I could be in a movie that's kind of big. You know, I mean, when I say big, I mean, you know, explosions. And I don't have to be the guy. I can be the funny guy. I can be whatever. I just... it's funny. It's so funny that John wrote this movie, and this is the movie we did together, because all we talk about is, like, comic book movies and action stuff, and we'll be forever disappointed that we weren't, you know, this movie doesn't really necessitate a teaser poster and teaser trailer. I can speak for him, too. We're just huge fans of that. I mean, I even more than the summer movies, I like the poster and the, you know, the whole event film idea, so... I would love to be involved in something someday that, you know, has a big sort of, the ad.
A big poster.
Yeah, a big poster, a big teaser. It feels big. It's a big event, big event film.
I saw Smiley Face up in Sundance, which is quite an interesting role that you have in it.
Yeah.
Can you describe it, and also, was the Rustifying hair written in the role? Did you come up with that yourself?
No, I play a pot dealer. I come in and I do a transaction. And as far as the dreadlocks and the tattoos go, that was Greg Araki. I met with him and he said, you know, I was thinking this. I said, sure, I'm game. It's a day. I don't care. Put me in whatever. You know, the crazier the better. I was willing. I was up for anything in that role. It was good. It was good. I wish we could have been funnier. But
what has been your Sundance experience?
I don't know. I gotta say, I was a little, fuck it. I don't care. What am I gonna do? I was a little underwhelmed. I have to say, it's a weird thing. I've been waiting to go for a long, long time, and I wanted to, I wanted to wait till I had something there, so I didn't, you know, I felt like I could go on the rides, you know, and I was okay, you know, it was fun, I had a blast, but it really was, it was a weird dichotomy of, it's the most artistic, you know, the most pure movies being made all, you know, around the world, mixing with, so like the truest kind of artists and the, you know, people working with the most creative freedom, mixed with the most corporate environment I've ever been at in my life. You know, and I'm for the sponsors, and I understand, and all that stuff's great, but like, when I'm getting handed blue DirecTV shots, it's weird. It's just, and you know, and it's like, and everything is a red carpet, and everything is, and as much as those swag suites are cool, I don't know, they're not that cool. They're more trouble than, I don't know. I mean, I took a pictures with a lot of shit I didn't like and I didn't want in the first place. You know? And it's like, I don't really want these hand-beaded, what, I don't just take them for your day, you know, you give them away, present, okay, well, okay. Can you hold it up? Maybe take a picture, maybe smile, maybe thumbs up. And it's like, I don't know, you know? The movies were cool and the people are really nice, but it was a scene even in a way I wasn't totally expecting. So, I don't know. Whatever. I guess I'll... I don't know.
You should have seen it the year before.
What's that?
You should have seen it the year before.
Oh, really?
Last year was
tame. Oh, wow, wow, wow.
So would you go back?
Yeah, of course. I mean, no, listen, I had a fun time, that said, and I would love to, and I would love to have a reason to go back. I would love to be in a movie, you know, that gets in there. And but that said, just as a whole, it just felt like much more of a corporate trade show than it did... And I knew it wasn't the arty independent scene, and that's fine. And I wasn't even going necessarily. I mean, I was going for big Hollywood parties. I was, but you know, it's weird too. I mean, even the parties, though, it's like I realized I know a lot of people here, and but it's really the only actors here are the three people in the movies that are in town this day, and then it's like sort of a bunch of I don't know. It was, I mean. I took a lot more pictures than I expected to at some of these parties, you know? It was I don't know, it just felt much more of a, it was a bigger scene in the way I wasn't expecting.
Okay.
But I would go back in a second. I mean, I still had fun.
I like it.
No, yeah.
Well, have you ever been, like, are you the kind of guy that girlfriends, I mean friends, would come to, like, for advice, or are you one of the people that you're just a guy and you don't want to hear from them?
Yeah, no, I think I'm, I think I'm good at that stuff.
You can tell your problems and you give them advice?
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. I mean, I think that, I think I'm a fairly good communicator, and I've got some, I can offer some good, relationship advice when asked, I believe. That said, I don't have a lot of, like, high-drama friends, so... No one's ever running to me. You know, I mean, I find that if you keep need to ask for advice a lot, then something's probably not working.
Were you comfortable with this role then, in playing him?
Yeah, very much. Very much
of course
so.
It is.
I was completely. It was sort of a natural fit, and I felt like I got the voice very easy. And
oh my God!
No, it's going.
Somebody else.
Oh, that's someone else.
Are you one of these actors that are apprehensive in between projects? Like, you know, you look for the next one and hope that there is going to be a next one?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is, you know, and I gotta say, I can't even believe how fast it moves now. I mean, this is another sort of, this is like an agent-y sort of observation that I wish I wasn't so aware of. But it's one of my hobbies. I mean, I am good friends with my agent. We always talk business, and, you know, it's fun. It's like the stock market. But I can't believe how fast, you know, it moves now. I mean, it just, like, it really is your last project. I mean, film is so unbelievably... that it's so unbelievably trendy and about, you know, there's so many good actors, but it's so much about who is in the last successful independent film. I mean, even if you look at the cast of the new Batman that's coming, that they're filming, versus the Batman 10 years ago, when everyone in that had been a star for 10 years a minimum, you know, and it's now, it's everyone in it, nobody's exactly famous, and everyone's in it based exclusively on their last successful independent film. Which is great, and I'm happy, and they're all great actors, but it works so fast now, and that, like, I just think that, of course, you know, there's anxiety about the next job, but, man, it is so out of your hands a little bit that I really am trying to sort of zen out a little and go, look, I can just work with what I got, and it's not up to me exactly. It's just, it isn't. You know, there's a lot of good actors. There's a lot of good people that can do what I do. And, you know, hopefully the cards fall in a nice way.